Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we journey through the book of Acts and learn that true faith leads to action. Now, let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, everybody, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. Certainly appreciate your listenership. And we'd love to have you pass the word. Let's get some more people listening to the Bible and joining us. And I do appreciate in advance any help you could give me along those lines. Hey, Acts chapter 26 is really one message and the response to that one message. And we've gotten through the message part of it. So we talked about how the Apostle Paul set the table, how he introduced Jesus, and then he talked about his response to the call of Christ upon his life. And now you've got a room full of listeners that have to do something with that information. That's always the case. When truth is presented, then what is also presented is a new level of accountability for the listener.
It's going to be interesting to see how these different people respond. We have people from all different kinds of backgrounds here, and we won't see obviously how all they respond, but it is very telling to see the people that do speak up what they say.
So the Bible says in verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus." So remember, Festus is the host, he's the organizer, he's the governor, this is his jurisdiction, but he has planned this assemblage for the purpose of Agrippa primarily hearing the message, but then he's added some other higher ups because he at least has claimed that he wants their counsel, but he doesn't let them speak, he doesn't elicit a response from them, he's the one that responds. And the Bible says in verse 24, "And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." Paul, you're crazy. That's the most far-fetched story I've ever heard in my life.
It is quite remarkable how Festus does respond here. And clearly, Festus still does not see anything that Paul said that is worthy of being, you know, tried by Caesar. And yet, Festus, this is just so outlandish to Festus. The natural man cannot understand this. He cannot compute. How can this even make sense?
And that was exactly the verse I was thinking of, John. You just cited 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And that is, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Well, here's a great example of that. This is foolish to Festus. Not only the foolishness of Paul's behavior or claim that he saw a vision. No doubt Festus thinks, man, this guy just ate too much pepperoni pizza one night. But also he is... He's disagreeing with Paul's assessment of Scripture itself,
which is interesting because Festus certainly would not have known the Old Testament as well as Paul would have. But Festus would have been an educated man, and he certainly does not think that Paul knows what he's talking about.
Right. So Festus is the first one to respond, and the response is, "Paul, you're crazy. You are just nuts." And watch what the Bible says in verse 25, "But he spake, I'm not mad, I'm not crazy, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." So we'll go on and read verse 26 here in a moment, but I love the Apostle Paul's response because it's not a tit for tat response. Many times in ministry, John, we're going to be opposed and our words are going to be opposed and our messages are going to be, they're going to be commented on, they're going to be disesteemed, people are going to call us shallow, Christians just need a crutch. And if we're not careful, pride will respond and say, "I'm not crazy, you are. You're the crazy one, you're the stupid one. Who are you calling But he doesn't take this personally.
And I love time and time again how we find Paul in the book of Acts showing us how to respond in circumstances where the natural, our flesh, would want to respond back with pride, as you mentioned. But Paul is humble here, and Paul responds with great humility and great kindness toward Festus.
When you make it about yourself, the truth will suffer. And Paul just had such a high view of truth that he was never going to make it about himself. So you might call me crazy. And think about it. Festus was really the one that was being foolish, but Paul didn't say that. He didn't say, Festus, okay, I'm noble and you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not mad. I'm not crazy, Festus, most noble Festus. He maintained a level of decorum and respect. Look at how that continues in verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. In other words, Festus, I understand from your perspective why you might come to this conclusion. I'm telling you, this is the truth. And I'll tell you who knows it, Festus. Who knows it is Agrippa. Because Agrippa has a greater context. He knows about Jesus. He knows who I was. He knows how these things have unfolded. And so he knows right now that there's a ring of truth to everything I'm saying.
And it is interesting that Paul, again here, he ties all he's doing to the Old Testament. You know, he says, you know, Agrippa, he knows what we're talking about here. These are not strange things to you, to him, although they may be to you, Festus. This is something that is not just, you know, cropped up recently. This is something that Agrippa himself has a knowledge of because it is from the Old Testament.
I find another aspect of the story that is just so intriguing to me is while Festus is the loud one and Festus is the first one, Paul realizes it's not Festus who is under conviction right now. It's not Festus who is the target of this message. And Paul very quickly comes back to the person to whom he gave the answer. And the person I believe and whose heart the Lord was working.
That is for sure. You know, Paul has spoken to Festus already, and now he's before Agrippa. And yes, Festus is hearing this, but really you're right, Pastor. Agrippa is the one Paul is right now honing in on. And I do believe that Paul can see that God is working in Agrippa's heart and that Agrippa ought be able to understand where Paul's coming from.
Later in Paul's ministry, he wrote to Timothy and he said, Timothy, the servant of God, the servant of the Lord must not strive. Don't get into fights. Don't get into arguments. That's not going to accomplish anything. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. In other words, able to take truth and explain it. That's what that means. Apt to teach, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. So, in other words, don't take the bait. Don't take the emotional bait, but keep it about the truth. And watch how Paul does that in verse 27. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. So what does Paul make central to the argument? What he makes central to the argument is the veracity of the word of God.
And he tells Agrippa, Agrippa, I know that you understand that the prophets are trustworthy. What they have given is the word of God, and we can go to it and believe it.
It's interesting that Paul didn't say, King Agrippa, believest thou my story about the road to Damascus? Now, it was no less true, but that's not what he said.
Right.
He didn't say, Agrippa, do you believe that I'm smart? He didn't say that. No, the basis for belief is the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Paul understood that the basis for everything he was saying wasn't even his incredible experience. It was the word of God. I think about the Apostle Peter. When he wrote the book of 2 Peter, he said, you know, I had a great experience too. You know, I was with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration along with James and John. And we saw the Lord transfigured before us, and we heard the voice of God from heaven. But you talk about an experience. But then Peter said this, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy. And he talked about the Old Testament scriptures. So experiences are great. And if God's given you some experiences that have helped you along your way, I'm glad for you. Okay, but at the end of the day, the greatest testimony to the veracity of who Jesus is and what he did is the scripture itself.
And I love how you referred to 2 Peter chapter 1, what Peter talks about there, to show us that our faith is anchored in the word of God, that without the word of God, we're not going to know what we ought to believe. But because of the word of God, the Holy Spirit can use that in our life to help us understand and to come to faith in what the Bible says and to understand the Bible, believe the Bible. And then because we have been changed by the word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, now we can live and become more like Christ day by day, which was what Paul's goal was in his life. And it is what he wants Agrippa now to understand.
The rich man in hell was under the false delusion that if his brothers had some kind of a miraculous experience, you know, a messenger from the other side were to come to them, they would believe. And Abraham was quick to remind him that they have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible. And the Bible is the best testimony to a person's need for Christ, the Bible. And that's what Paul comes back to. Agrippa, do you believe the Bible? I know you do. I know you do.
This would have been a very pointed, really Agrippa being called out in a way. I mean, not really called out in a negative way, but Agrippa kind of put on the spot by Paul, where Paul says, Agrippa, I know you believe the prophets. Now, Paul's not doing this to be negative. Paul is doing this to say, Agrippa, I know where your heart is at. I know you understand the prophets they are of God. And now it is Agrippa's time to respond to what Paul's given him.
And Agrippa's response, it's so famous. He said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We'll sing that great invitation song at church, Almost Persuaded. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. I wish everybody could have what I have, except for being in jail. I like that. And when he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them, and when they were gone aside. So that's it. Agrippa is convicted. He's at the point of decision. He almost like Felix, you know, I'll consider this again at a more convenient season, not today. So the council gets up, the assemblage gets up, they go aside, they talk between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. So their conclusion as far as the court case was, hey, say what you want about his message. This guy is not guilty. And then verse 32, then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Boy, it's a shame. It's a shame that he appealed for his right as a Roman citizen to go to Rome to the Supreme Court, because— you know, my advice to you would be, let him go. And what's really interesting is they didn't give him advice about what to write to Caesar.
That is extremely interesting, which is what the point of this meeting was all about.
Right. And at the end of the meeting, it was like, wow, why is this guy even in jail?
Hey, but when I think about that passage, it makes me chuckle when you read that. And I thought about, you know, back to the previous chapter, what Festus told them. But we see in this chapter, in spite of what Festus did not get, I think the opportunity Paul had to preach the gospel before Agrippa and all these other people there, and what opportunity he had to share the gospel of Christ.
Did any of these people track the ministry of Paul? We know that they had connections in Rome. We know that they would visit Rome. We know that they were schooled in Rome. Herod Antipas was raised in Rome, and many of them were. That's where they were taught, you know, the leadership lessons and all that. So you just have to wonder in years to come, when Paul became a prisoner in Rome, when Paul became persona non grata, when Paul became the poster child of Christianity and was pinned for the ills of the Roman economy by Nero, you wonder if some of these men, like Festus and like Agrippa, said, I knew that guy. You know, I remember. And in the back of their mind thinking, this is not fair. This is not right. And did any of those people that day receive the gospel?
You have to wonder about that. I think in my life, even court cases I've seen, I've not been part of, but they've intrigued me and I followed them down the road. I would have to think that some of these people who heard Paul so masterfully and they heard him say what he had to say and they knew he had not done wrong. I just have to think in my mind that there were some people down the road who checked up to find out how things go with this court case.
For sure. Well, here's the deal, my friends. I need for you to make sure that you have received your swimming certification. Make sure that you have a floaty or a life preserver because we're going to get on a boat tomorrow, our next episode, and we're going to travel with the Apostle Paul. And I can't promise you that that boat is going to arrive safely. So you better have some skills. No, honestly, we're going to jump into chapter 27 next episode, talk about Paul's journey to Rome. What a journey it was. And this has been a great journey to get through Acts with you. Appreciate you being along for the ride. Hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.